Doug Tyrrell, History and Comment is available weekdays on iHeartRadio.
Hello, friends. I'm Doug Tyrrell. This is History and Comment for Tuesday, the 14th of May, 2024. I'm thinking, as I look at the calendar, how growing up in South Central Indiana, May was filled with news from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The phrase was 30 days in May. Part of this was we were in the range of Indianapolis radio stations, and it was a big thing. There was another factor. The teams actually had to work all month testing new setups and designs. There was actual competition over two weekends to qualify and make the field. I'm certain it was big business for the time, but far from the scale it is today. There is another factor. Living downstate, it's not as much a thing as near Indianapolis. Looking at the entry list for this year's event, there are only 34, similar to other recent years. Qualifying will not be a big event. We just have to find the single slow guy. There was a time when the Indianapolis 500 was nearly a single event to test man and machine. Today, not so much. Just another race on another weekend. NASCAR is much the same way. Looking at events across history, most are either political or religious, and at times both at the same time. 1590, France is in the midst of a religious war. At the root is the discussion point that has plagued Europe for most of the past two millennia. Is the Catholic Church the sole authority? Of course, they have voted in the affirmative and defended that idea with much bloodshed of anyone who would question that position. France, maybe more so than other countries on the continent, had a robust opposition. There was a group of Protestants known as Huguenots. Specifically, they were French Calvinists. At one point, about 1572, they comprised 10% of the French population. Then there were other Protestants, but the majority remained Catholic. The pressure in France were similar to what we've discussed in England, but England swung the other way. By the end of the 18th century, Protestants will almost be eliminated from the French population. One recent poll showed almost 60% are Catholic, 35% claim agnostic, atheism, or no religion, 3.5% other religions, and just 3% Protestant. In the American Revolution period, it was not just the colonies and Britain in the mix. 1780, Spanish forces capture Fort Charlotte near present-day Mobile, Alabama. This was the last British post that could threaten New Orleans, which was under Spanish control at the time. Eli Whitney receives a patent for the cotton gin in 1794. If you've not seen the plant fiber up close, the bowl is the seed pod and contains many hard, dark seeds, a little smaller than a pea, each wrapped in the fluffy fiber. Cotton may be the most useful plant fiber, certainly for consumer products, but the seeds are difficult to separate from the fiber. Whitney's rather simple device was essentially a circular saw blade where the teeth were exposed to the raw fiber, then engaged it and pulled it through slots too small for the seeds to pass. The fiber then is simply brushed from the teeth. The prior art was to have hordes of people, usually slaves, spend days doing the work by hand. The first device was small and hand-cranked, but it proved the concept and replaced dozens of workers. Picking the cotton remained a hand job well into the 20th century. One has to wonder, if a mechanical picker had been invented in the middle of the 19th century, how would this have changed the slave issue? Agriculture has benefited greatly from technology over the past 120 years, and at the same time, there has been a mass exodus from rural communities. A few years ago, I was talking to an older farmer in the northeastern portion of Champaign County, Illinois. Now, if you've never been there, it's some of the best farmland in the United States. He remarked from his barnyard that when he was a small boy, the landscape was dotted with dozens of small farms. Yet, on that day, it was open fields with only a few buildings in view. And from a rise in Champaign County, you can see for miles. The United States goes on the gold standard in 1900 and will stay there until the 1930s when Mr. Roosevelt, with the help of Congress, changes it. The dollar was fixed at 28.5 grains of 90% pure gold. That would make a $1,900 dollar worth on the order of $114 today. We often talk about the troubles in Ireland a century ago and have not gone completely away. But it was not just an us versus them, where us was Irish and them was Great Britain. The Irish Republican Army gets much press, but there was also the Irish Free State with differing goals. Like in any political battle, the lines and causes are difficult to distill down, but essentially, it was what to do with Northern Ireland. Culturally, the six counties that made up Northern Ireland are distinct from the rest of Ireland. You can thank the British for that problem, mostly. In 1609, King James, the one who authorized the Bible translation, was trying to gain a foothold in Ireland and also ease tensions along the border between Scotland and England. He offered land to the Scots and some English to relocate to Ulster, as the region is properly known. The Lowland Scots were maybe more rough and tumble than the Highlanders and accustomed to border fights. This gives Ulster more of a connection to Great Britain and less to the rest of Ireland. The bulk of the island is diverse in history, language, and culture, not to mention religion. Ireland still has pockets that speak Irish Gaelic, a Celtic language with no Latin connection. This point ties them closer to the Highlands, where a Scots version was spoken, but Scots Gaelic was not common in the Lowlands. The first American patient receives penicillin in 1942. UN troops recapture Seoul, Korea for the second time in the back and forth in 1951. Birthdays today. Apollo astronaut Frank Borman would have been 95. His passing late last year leaves just four Apollo astronauts. Music producer Quincy Jones is 91. Actor Billy Crystal, 76. Radio disc jockey Rick Dees is 74. Dees, you may recall, had a smash novelty hit in 1976. It was the disco era, and Dees wrote and sang about a dancing duck, complete with Donald Duck voicing. It was a bit strange, but so were a lot of things in that era. 76 was also the height of the CB radio fad, and an ad writer for a bread company turns bread ads about their delivery driver into national hits. I'm talking about Bill Freeze, also known as C.W. McCall. Jerry Greenfield, a businessman, philanthropist, and general hippie meets capitalist, is 73. He is the co-founder of Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream. The hippie comment might be a bit slanted, but he's a bit young to be an actual hippie and was twice rejected for medical school. But their politics certainly are well left of center. That's History and Comment for the 14th day of May. I'm Doug Terrell. Now, go do something worth remembering.